everybody, and happy new year, and welcome to 2019 and this edition of
Making Waves for a New Year.
There you go, Dennis Rom, Steve Bykwist with you, and looking forward to presenting a program today that's going to kind of be, a little look back, actually. Believe it or not, it was only April that we began this venture of the Making Waves weekly talk show.
Springtime.
Yeah, and we've had, I think, 36 shows or something like that. Pretty amazing. Happens quickly. Time passes quickly, as you know. But we want to go back a little bit, get a little reflective here on some of the things. And I remember the initial show when you and I sat down to do this, and we're wondering, gosh, can we fill, 10 minutes or so of something? And
we'll get her done.
Before it was said and done, we had a half-hour program, and it's pretty much stayed consistent in that range of 25 to 30 minutes. And it's been a variety of topics, which has been fun to kind of dig into the Lake Chelan Valley and our community. And
it's rewarding to see up to 1,000 people a week listening and participating with us.
Absolutely, it has been fun. And speaking, I'm glad you brought that up, because one of the things we would really like to push, we kind of did it early on and let it kind of slip away a little bit, but want to encourage those of you that listen to the program or find out about it, if there is a particular topic of interest that you would like to see Steve and I address, or maybe there's someone in the community that you think would be a great personage to be interviewed, and to find out a little bit more about their lives and what they've done here in the Lake Chelan Valley, please let us know. It's simple to do. You can just email us to either Dennis or Steve at info@lakechelannow.com.
info@lakechelannow.com.
It's that simple. And give us your idea. We will pursue it on your behalf. And anytime you want to comment, we'd like to hear from you as well. So
let's make some waves.
There you go. Let's make some waves. Let's go back, Steve. In April, when we began this venture, one of the early topics we talked about was affordable housing. And we had the pleasure of visiting with the City of Chelan Mayor Mike Cooney about that. And a lot has happened and transpired in that time frame.
It has. We're not near solution, but a lot has happened in a couple of different areas. And that's good to see. There's progress being made, and that bodes well for folks in the community who would like to live here and work here and raise a family here. And we need more entry-level, obviously, housing. But it's obvious as well that good progress has been made in a couple of fronts.
Yeah.
Agriculture folks and folks in the community stepping up and putting together a way to make it happen financially.
Absolutely, and they have formed a community land trust,
which is going
to be the mechanism they're going to be using initially to try to get some affordable homes built. They are raising monies as we speak. They're looking at times for land acquisitions. All these things are in process right now. They had an in-depth study done of the community on the housing needs by a housing expert. They've had that study returned to the city, and all the council members and the mayor and the planning commission and all those folks have had the opportunity to digest that information. So we'll certainly be having more coming down the pipe on this topic. It's not something, as you mentioned, it's not going away. No, it's not going away, and it's not going to be resolved overnight. So, but there has certainly been progress made on that, and that is good to see. One of the other things we did in April, this was a fun one for me, was we got word that there was a local real estate person who had another life that some people knew about, but not everybody.
Life before real estate.
Yeah, life before real estate. And in his younger years, Steve, he was referred to as Airborne Eddie.
Airborne Eddie.
Eddie Ferguson. And he was inducted into the Hall of Fame for skiing and snowboarding. Pretty cool thing. Had the chance to sit down and talk to him about, his years when he was a little more risky, perhaps, than what he would do right now. He still skis, by the way, and goes to Mission Ridge fairly regularly. But he had a chance to go back and be inducted into the Hall of Fame, and that was a cool thing.
Cool. Ski jumping is something that I would not even tackle.
Yeah.
Even in my younger years. Did some skiing, but the jumping part of it, particularly those kinds of distances, it's unbelievable.
Well, he
magical.
Really, yeah, he was one of the instigators of what they now call freestyle.
Right.
I mean, he was there in those early years, and he was at the top of the ladder. So pretty cool stuff that we got a skiing legend living here in the Lake Chelan Valley, and we had the opportunity to visit with him about that. Also,
people can go back and listen to these, by the way.
Yes. good point. And we're going to, yes, all of these, as we chronicle down through here, some of the shows that we did, they are, if you go to lakeshorelandnow.com, at the top right portion, there is a tab that will say listen. Pull down on that and you'll see a category devoted to making waves. And you click on that, it brings you to the page, and each and every episode is housed up there. So, you know, much of it is not really dated information per se. So you can go back and listen and get some of the background information and hear from some of the, you know, interesting people that reside here in our Lake Chelan Valley. Now, in May, Steve, you and I know we had really fun with this one. We took our remote equipment, went down to the Sunset Marina, because we found out there was going to be the reinstitution of spring hydroplane racing at Lake Chelan, the Apple Cup Regatta.
Mm-hmm.
So we hooked up with the hydroplane racing
brothers. Mitch and Mark Evans.
Yep. And that was a lot of fun.
Always good interviews. And I've been interviewing them for 40 years and knew their father very well. So always fun interviews. And whether you're talking current information or past information, fun interviews, fun to listen to.
And we're not done with them. We're going to have more.
We'll have more.
I will guarantee it. And by the way, they're also working on another,
are you surprised?
Mm-hmm. Well, but another boat project, the Evans Brothers.
Right. They've got some stuff going on that we'll probably see on the Unlimited Circuit one of these days.
Yes. So that's pretty cool stuff. So we'll look forward to that. So that was fun. May also was a big month for a pretty major news story of significance in terms of a local seasonal operation, Steve, Slidewaters, which is open Memorial Day through Labor Day, the water park, everybody knows about it, but they're in the midst of launching a venture that's going to allow them to extend their season.
And make waves
with what will be the world's largest surf wave of its kind, and it's going to be right here in the Lake Chelan Valley.
Working on it for some time, and it's coming to fruition, we understand. It's not a small venture at all. It will consume a large amount of electricity, pumping zillions of gallons of water, and it will be amazing. It'll be a destination attraction, no doubt about it.
We will have follow-ups on that, by the way. Not sure when the exact opening will be. Probably not a big surprise, Steve, that they had some delays. They were hoping to be further along in the project now, and I think one of the biggest delays they had was getting that hurricane giant pump that is going to be required to move this wave along, coming from Germany, by the way.
Yeah, and it's not built here.
No, not built here. Got a little bit delayed, but they'll get back on it, I'm sure, in full force this spring.
I'm looking forward to that one. Again, it'll make Chelan, the Lake Chelan area, it'll give us another reason to be a destination attraction and more than 3 months out of the year. This is not going to be limited to their traditional operating hours, as I understand it.
Yeah, the plan at least going in, Steve, was that they would remain open instead of Labor Day closed. They would remain open probably into October, maybe November, shut down for the dead of winter time, and then reopen in the spring well ahead of Memorial Day and have a longer season. I mean, they're talking about having competitions there. They are speaking about having surf lessons. And they're talking about adding, and as they move along to the second phase of this, a pier. It'll look like a pier in the California coast would be, and they'll have an outdoor music venue, outdoor sand volleyball courts, and perhaps some pickleball courts. It's going to be quite an enterprise by the time it's all said and done.
Looking forward to it.
All right, so there you go. That was the month of May. In June, I get the sense here we kind of like playthings. You know, we've talked about hydroplanes and a surf park wave thing coming in, and now in June, it was about automobiles because was the new Miller's Lake Chelan Auto Museum. We had the chance to visit with Leo Miller, who has put that operation together. It opened up for the first time this summer. It's a seasonal operation. It'll be reopening again come springtime and through Labor Day, and that is a cool spot. Three warehouses, Steve, full of classic automobiles, and maybe more than just the classic autos, which I love.
Signs, it's, the old gas pumps, all the stuff from the 50s and the 60s and the 70s that you remember as a youngster growing up. Quite an attraction in and of itself.
Yeah, it really is. All that you mentioned it, that paraphernalia is really cool stuff. I love that one setting in there. I can still see it visualized where there's a gas pump.
Mm-hmm.
With a classic Thunderbird parked underneath of it, and then a lot of neon-lit signs and whatnot. It's a really cool thing. So, Yeah, if you haven't had the chance, I really highly recommend that if you're a local resident here, you put this on your must-do list. One of those things you should do, then that way you know what you're speaking of is you have friends and visitors come maybe to see you here at Lake Chelan, as we all tend to have. Another attraction I think that people will be certainly interested in.
You bet. You bet.
And so Leo and Polly Miller are doing a great job with that automobile.
Leo's been working on this for almost his entire life. It's, well, it's just phenomenal. I can't, there's no way to describe it.
And
outstanding job, Leo. Super.
He didn't know he was working on a museum when he started.
No, oh no. No, had a couple cars. And
yeah.
Somehow.
And I'm sure Polly's like, do you really need
another rig on it?
But yes, now they have Miller's Lake Chelan Auto Museum, and a cool spot. So check it out when you have the chance coming up this spring and this summer. Also, Steve, in the month of June, we had a lot of dialogue in not only on our program as we talked about it in depth, but a lot of talk in the community about the Old Bridge renovation project and the what is now going to be that landing park there in that dock that is adjacent to Campbell's below the old bridge there that's going to be spiffed up and made to look real nice. That project well underway.
And will continue this spring and be done by this summer. It's the one thing that we talked about earlier is the old light standards that have been on the bridge, and that this whole project designed to obviously improve traffic flow and do all those things. But architecturally, they heard from the community loud and clear that they didn't want the appearance of the bridge, whether you're looking at it from an uplake or downlake perspective, to change. And that included those light standards. The old light standards were failed concrete standards, like posts, not more. Yes. And nonetheless, they are now down and being refabricated new, but will look identical and will be easy to service. The lights will be able to stay on. They'll be able to change color, da-da-da-da-da, rather than the older ones that were a maintenance headache.
Yeah, and I think that's a pretty cool function when you think about it, is everybody enjoyed when they would manually go in and change the light bulbs for the holidays.
Yeah, let's put a green one in
colored.
Here,
yeah.
A red one in there.
Now it's going to be modern technology, and they'll just probably flip a switch keyboard
some
in something.
Right, exactly.
And then there you go. There's your holiday theme.
Fourth of July, red, white, and blue. Make them blink. Make them, yeah.
Yeah, you got it. And I think another kind of a neat thing about this, there was discussion about what happened to the old ones. Well, they didn't smash them and pulverize them and destroy them. They're in storage right now. And there has been some talk about looking at ways to repurpose them, Steve, maybe in some downtown alleyways or some other locations around the community. So we'll see. That's still ahead and to be determined, as they say.
They aren't light and they aren't small, so that'll be a chore. Work in progress, we'll call it. How's that?
Yes, but anything's possible these days and ages, right? Okay, so July, let's move forward. And pretty much in July, you just got to say fires.
Again, some more. And we'll undoubtedly be faced with it again and some more. Yes, we're all familiar with and have been around fire. Probably more than any of us really want.
I personally want to thank you, and I want to thank my wife Lonnie and my daughter Jenna, because the month of July is when I kind of crashed health-wise, and about halfway through it was pretty much out of commission the rest of July and pretty much most of August as well, right in the midst, of course, of this busy time with all the fires and whatnot. So everybody kind of pulled together. And Steve, I want to just talk about this briefly with you in terms of how we cover fires today, because back in the day when we were at the radio station and covering, it was pretty much a hands-on people. We had people out in the field in different locations with the two-way radios, not cell phones in some of those earlier years. And it was really, you had to extract the information and whatnot, and it was time intensive.
You bet.
Today, I'm not saying it's easy, but today with the advent of technology, there is so much information and current information on the status of a fire that's available on a website or via Facebook messaging or Twitter and whatnot. And it's just a matter of getting those in place, knowing where to access information. And then still important to have, obviously, the contacts with the PIOs and some of the other people,
right,
you know, that are on these fires. But it's a different dynamic in how you cover a fire nowadays. And you can go out and cover it, as we did on the North Shore fire, with a live Facebook.
This is where I was going. We have many, I called them back in the radio days, listener reporters. This is, again, before cell phones and everybody having a camera and could be ability to post and move information right away. Now you can rely on folks that you know and trust, your readers, subscribers, what have you, and basically filter the information to make sure it's accurate and correct before you disseminate it. But yes, it has changed dramatically. Still the personal contact with the public information officers and boots on the ground.
Right.
That makes the story, but you're able to rely also on your people. The folks, all of us together, collectively, listeners, subscribers, what have you, able to participate, and that helps a lot. We have some phenomenal pictures from people who were gracious enough to share them.
Yeah, and we've seen that across the board on a number of different stories. I'm going to digress a little bit, but I think about the photo of the cougars from a camera that was on someone's porch. You know,
yeah.
We've had bear sightings. We've had, you know, the wildlife issues have been amazing in the terms, and it's great to have the people respond either with accountings, you know, just messaging that, yeah, this happened at my place the other day, or actually forwarding those photos and giving us permission to use those and make them part. And then once you get to that whole social media thing,
new dynamic.
The website is one thing, but you start getting that up on Instagram and Facebook, for example, and it just takes on a life of its own. It's amazing. Some of those have had 40,000-50,000 views that were generated from LakeshoreLandNow.com, and it literally blew me away.
Yeah, well, you don't know it. You have no idea what's going to spark that interest. All of a sudden, people start sharing that information, which we've had on a couple of different stories that have just blown up. 40,000-50,000 people. You go, whoa, that was just a picture of a cougar or whatever.
Yeah, and sometimes the easiest things, you put a lot of time and effort into certain stories and do a lot of background research and get photos and do this and that, and then something like this comes along and it's a one little quick thing that was sent and it's off to the races.
Exactly.
Fun stuff. All right, so we were pretty consumed in that month of July with fires, Lake Chelan now I'm talking about. In August, it's interesting that this became the most listened to Making Waves episode, and it was with the crew at Rotten Apple, the folks that put on the comedy show. So I guess we like to laugh and enjoy humor here in the Lake Chelan Valley. Got over 1,000 listens on that show with Shai Nuez and Kelsey Guy, the two that are instrumental in bringing Rotten Apple to Lake Chelan Valley and bringing comedy. And we're talking not, you know, some guy working at the Tri-Cities Comedy Club. We're talking people that have been on all the major late-night talk shows. They've been on the Comedy Club, Comedy Central. They've had HBO appearances.
Mm-hmm.
These are the real people doing the stuff in the field, and they're coming here to Lake Chelan.
People like to laugh. It's very upbeat. Yeah, I mean, what can you say?
Yeah, and the story behind those two was interesting, I found, about how they got together, how they hatched the idea on a trip up lake on the Lady of the Lake, because they wanted to get away and have some quiet and solitude and a chance to talk. They had a buddy that came up from Hollywood, and they really kind of put everything together on that up and down lake trip. And now we have Rotten Apples and we have comedy, and not just in the summer. They've done some fall productions. Mm-hmm. We're going to have another Winterfest. Rotten Apple crew is going to put on a comedy show as part of Winterfest as well. So,
didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be fun.
Yeah, of course it will be fun. Pretty neat stuff. So, yeah, that was fun to get that show put together. Now, we also did, as we were continuing, I won't call it a theme, but just because it was so ever-present, Steve, with fires, in the month of August, we did, you and I, kind of a look back at Tyee Fire retrospective and the similarities between the fires that were occurring this past year and Tyee Fire going back to 1994. So we talked about that. We talked about, and this was a tough one, we did a tribute to the late Scott Brundage, a long-time well-known radio personality into acting, into, you know, the spoken word thing.
Shenandoah Valley Players, playing Scrooge, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Some notoriety back in the Army when he was a journalist there. Began his radio career in Wenatchee in the 1960s. Shared his talents with us here in the Lake Chelan Valley. Went well into around 2000 or so, and Wenatchee Valley College trustee, good friend.
Also in that month of August, we had the chance to visit with Tim Evans, the sales manager at Chelan Fresh, and you and I got a real up-close look at, for one thing, the scope of that operation. You look at it and think, yeah, there's a handful of people in there. There's a lot of people in there.
Yes.
And they're doing marketing worldwide.
It's an amazing operation, but we have an amazing product to sell worldwide. The follow-up story that will be done as we move through this new year will have to do with ability to export with tariffs and those kinds of things, geopolitical part of that story. Agriculture remains number one industry in our Lake Chelan Valley. It's one of our primary employers, and obviously very, very important. Most of that fruit is sold through Chelan Fresh, which has a hell of an operation, frankly. Probably around 100 employees here and another 30 or 40 in Yakima, something like that. They're on the phone, they're selling the stuff, they're moving the trucks, and that's what they do.
Yeah, that place was hopping in there, I'll tell you. Steve, let's fast forward into the month of September. This is taking a little longer than I thought, just to recap. But in the month of September, we saw the departure of longtime local doctor, Dr. Jay Waskiewicz, not leaving forever, but taking a sabbatical, made his way to New Zealand, where he's just kind of doing one of those bucket list things. He wants to travel there. He wants to climb a mountain is one of his goals. But he's also practicing medicine at a clinic there in New Zealand, including with some of the indigenous folks that live in New Zealand. Great opportunity for him. Looking forward, certainly, when he gets back to hearing all about that one. But that was a fun interview.
It'll be an interesting story when he gets back. Waz is an athlete. He's in shape. He likes doing stuff. And I've seen him more times in the middle of winter out jogging with tennis shoes on and shorts up and down alleys and slick surfaces that you and I can barely walk on. And he's out there putting it down and seems to do it every day.
Yes, indeed. Congrats. You know, living the dream.
It'll be fun to get that one off his bucket list and listen to what he has to say.
Absolutely. The month of October brought us Mahogany and Merlot and more hydroplanes again and the classic wood boats. And that was fun. Got to go to down and do a couple of live Facebook shots on that and just to kind of revisit that whole thing again. And the classic hydroplanes back on the waters of Lake Chelan. It's always fun, Steve, when we can bring
out
some of the old photos of the old boats and then see them when they're here. And I really loved how they had the boats downtown. The Bardol, for example, was downtown glistening in that evening light before it turned dark. Made a great photo opportunity. That was great to see.
I just loved listening to them.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. I will concur with that. October also brought us an interesting interview with Gene Kelly, 90 years young, and Pat Kelly, because it was the 60th anniversary of Kelly's Ace Hardware, and it was great to hook up with those two.
I reflect on interviewing Grover Kelly, Pat's grandfather, and Wayne Kelly, and Gene Kelly, and Pat, all at various times and in various settings over the years, have some phenomenal older interviews that have been preserved and given to the Kelly family, and they have those under lock and key and in temperature control. You know, they're changing, getting them off tape to digital, but yeah, phenomenal information. Grover Kelly was just amazing.
Yeah, the entire clan, and I'm guessing back in those days, a much younger Gene Kelly when you were interviewing him now, and now he's kind of the old sage wise one of the operation there, and still comes in on pretty much a daily basis in his ninth decade of life. That's a pretty amazing thing. So congratulations to Kelly's as they knock down the 60th anniversary. That puts us into the month of November. We had another big celebration, this time 70 years for Lake Chelan Community Hospital, Steve. And we heard from Emmett Aston. We heard from Alice Killian. We heard from Bob Gervais, folks that have been intimately involved in the medical community in the past here in Lake Chelan. And we're going to hear from another one as part of this show. A quick little interview, 4 or 5 minutes, is going to be with Dr. Chuck James. We didn't get a chance to air this before. He was at that 70th anniversary event, and, you know, he's got a long tenure here.
Dr. James began practicing around 1970 through the mid-90s. He was one of those persons at the ribbon cutting and opening of the current hospital, that I covered as a news person back in the early 70s, and distinctly remember the hospital opening and everybody in the community just excited to have a new hospital, the older hospital becoming apartments, which they continue to serve very affordable housing in the area. Good to see. And now we're 2 years away from a new hospital. So we'll have the old hospital, the new hospital, and the new hospital.
Exactly.
And Steve, Chuck was involved in all of this.
Yeah, and he was your family doctor.
He was my family doctor, yes, our family doctor for about 25 years. Delivered two boys and stuff like that.
Well, let's hear from the doctor right now here on Making Waves on LakeshoreLineNow.com.
70th anniversary, Lake Chelan Community Hospital, as we visit now with one of those that goes back a few years, Dr. Chuck James. Chuck, I want to ask you this question. I heard that you found out about Lake Chelan and a job through a recruitment ad. Is that true?
Absolutely true. Yeah, Dr. Fisher said he found me in the book, in a catalog, and yeah, that's how it happened. That was 1970. Recruiting was a lot simpler than it is now, and I started looking 3 months before I left the service, and we connected, and I called my wife and said, "I'm going to all of the others that I've said I would come visit, but this is the place. Get a babysitter, get the kids taken care of, come on up. I'll see you in 10 days." And that's the way it worked. Yeah, so.
And was it an easy sell for your wife?
Very much so. Oh, yeah. She likes the smaller communities. Yeah. I'm originally from Seattle, but it's not the same town that I grew up in. But no, she's very, very good about it. I mean, she was away. She's a Texan. She was away 2 or 3 years before her first visit home, and she took it really well. So anyways, yeah, that's how I got here.
So 1970, and then how long did you practice medicine in Chelan?
It's 26 years. 26 years in Chelan. Before that, 3 years in the military. Yeah. Before that, school.
So about 1996, if my math is correct then, that you practice here in the Lake Chelan Valley. Chuck, as you look back, reflect maybe a little bit on your time here in Chelan in the medical practice, and what has that been like?
Well, I think pretty much it's the way I wanted it to be. I was interested in a small town. I find people are much more down to earth, and you can't beat the people of this valley. So they're really good. And I didn't have, there's no medical in my family, but except for a daughter now. But anyways, it just seemed to be the right wonderful people. They welcomed me. You know, I was here before the new hospital, the present new hospital was built. I was here then. And I could see the areas that needed to be changed and updated, and to walk into, this is the second time I've been in a situation where we're building a new hospital. So
you're within 2 years of seeing a second brand new hospital. That's kind of a cool thing.
Very much so, yeah. Yeah, I'm gonna plan to stick around so I can get involved again. So, yeah.
Chuck, as you look back, and of course, again, you retired from practicing medicine in 96, but a long run at it. And as you go back and look from maybe the early years in the 70s up to the current time, what's been the biggest change, in your opinion, in medical practicing?
That's a difficult question. The small communities aren't going to be able to change much more. This is not a small community anymore. This is a step up, and I think I really enjoyed what I was doing. We had a wonderful place on the lake to raise kids, and they all did well. And I have one daughter who's a nurse, and couldn't talk any of the others into it, but still. They were of good interest, and we were busy. I was busy. That's part of the reason I did retire a little early. I was tired, and this was before we got into EMTs, and so we were still doing clinic doing babies, taking call, and all the things I want to do, but not necessarily enthusiastic about middle of the night or all night and go to work the next day. But nice people to work for. That was important.
What about being here today on the 70th anniversary get-together? I'm sure for you a pleasure to see some of the people that maybe haven't seen it a bit.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've seen people back 20, 30 years. I think it's neat. We had a smaller group with Dr. Waskowitz when he was here, and I got to see some people that I hadn't seen in 30 years, and now I'm seeing more, and it's wonderful. It's a nice place to visit.
Pleasure to have you here, and we thank you for taking time. Go out, rub some elbows, and have fun.
Thank you very much. Appreciate the help.
And words from Dr. James there. Great to hear from him as part of the 70th anniversary celebration that was held in the month of November for Lake Chelan Community Hospital. By the way, lots going on at the hospital. They have hired officially now their new CEO. He was the interim CEO, and they've promoted him up into that position. He initially had indicated he didn't want to work full-time and long-term anymore, but he was convinced to stay in the post, so that's good news. And it appears that we'll have breaking ground in this current year of 2019 for the construction of the new hospital.
And it would also appear that it's going to cost taxpayers a little bit less than originally proposed.
Yeah, that was great news the other day, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Good to see that. So there you go.
For those of us who look at our property tax statements.
And most of us do.
Yeah, we do.
By the way. All right. So November also included a discussion with Hillary Franz, who's become a good friend of Lake Chelan now. She makes herself readily accessible. She is the Public Lands Commissioner for the state of Washington. She heads up the Department of Natural Resources, the biggest firefighting entity in the state of Washington. And we had a discussion with her about her plan to try and solicit more state funding to deal with wildland fires, because as we know, Chelan is, and well, all through this north central Washington
fire
area,
plan.
All the communities are in the top 10 to being at risk for wildland fires. So we visited with Hillary on that. I'm sure we'll be hearing from her in the new year as well. December, Steve, we're finally getting close to the end. We visited with Jeff Conwell, the Manson Chamber of Commerce, about a plan for the chamber to acquire Loeffler Field.
That'll be an ongoing effort to raise that kind of money. However, they apparently are well underway, which is good to see.
Yeah, they've got an online fundraising campaign going. They're out soliciting some grant monies and whatnot. They've applied to the Chelan County for a pretty good chunk of change to make that purchase, and hoping to keep it as an asset, a community asset, as a park, and eventually, when it's all said and done, turn that over to Manson Parks and Recreation to manage that facility. All right, and also, kind of wrapping up the year of 2018 as far as making waves, we had fun, Steve, you and I, because we hooked up with Jerry Eisenhart and with Ray Dobbs, and we revisited Christmas Past and Santa Claus.
A lot of comment on that whole thing, and it was fun to not only be a participant in all of that for those years, 30 or 40, 50, but also to get a chance to sit down, the four of us, and chat.
Yeah, we're going to have to do that again.
Yes.
Different topic, but hey, you know.
We'll pick another one.
It'll be easy to fill. Yeah, not too difficult with, you know, four people like that and a microphone to share. So should be fun. Steve, I want to thank you so much for being a key cog here of making waves. It wouldn't have been possible without you. And, you know, it's not a high-paying gig for you. It's not a paying gig at all. I'll be very honest, you know. This is a new startup operation. I have bought you a couple cups of coffee here and there. But
four.
But who's counting,
right? Yeah,
right. Anyway, I want to thank you very much for making this show be better.
Our pleasure, and frankly, from a personal standpoint, having been involved in news and public affairs here in the Lake Chelan Valley since 1970, the community needs this forum as the printed word and some broadcast operations are, in my opinion, not doing what it takes to have an informed electorate and an informed community. And I will do anything that I can to make sure that we, as consumers of information here in the Lake Chelan Valley, have at least one, but preferably several sources for that same story, so then we can form our own opinion. That is very important to me.
And so, again, thank you for your contributions.
My pleasure.
For 2018. We're looking forward to 2019. I might say, just so people don't think we're ignoring you, you're going to be doing a little bit of traveling, a little bit of that winter getaway into the sun stuff. So there'll be episodes where you won't be here, although I'm going to let you know, I'm going to track you down on the phone, because now I can record you on the telephone as well.
Yeah, so not a problem.
You'll never be too far away, and we'll get a check-in on what's going on, and then we're looking forward to the year of 2019. So with that, that's going to wrap up. This was a quick edition, and went by very, very fast. The year from when we launched went by very, very fast. Looking forward to 2019, Steve.
Me too.
As we are
making waves
on LakeChelan.com. So long.